PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Guys, bonus episode, best of 2017, as well as the worst of slash most disappointing. We'll talk about that in a second. How's it going? I'm your host, Chris Crespo. I'm chilling, Drew Sakai, Drew.
Dude. This is rough, Chris.
What's rough?
This fucking best of bullshit.
Dude, I'll tell you. Yes. Yes. A difficult list this year, I found for some reason more than normal. I did a 15. What did you do? 10 or 15?
I mean, I could do 15. Not a problem.
Okay.
I did 10.
Well, here's the thing. I did a 15.
And then I've got this list of stuff at the bottom where it's like, these were the ones that were also there. Some of them I want to talk about.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I could totally make it 15.
Okay. We'll figure out a way to do this. I did 15 just because it was like, yeah, so difficult. And then already is just going through the list. I'll say ahead of time, there's a lack of foreign films. There's a lack of, documentaries for me.
I mean,
it's a... very kind of disappointing.
It's actually
in some ways.
Surprisingly enough, my list is kind of action heavy.
Interesting. Yeah, it is kind of what.
And
it's genre heavy.
And also, for I think the first time ever, I have comic book movies in my top 10.
In the top 10, ooh.
And I'm a comic book guy, but I know what comic book movies are.
Interesting.
And most of the time, there's enough, you know, there's enough other stuff out there throughout the year that will, you know, swipe those just right out of the top 10.
Yeah, because the Dark Knight is rare.
No, exactly. Exactly. But
usually they're more like the Dark Knight Rises, which is like perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But not as good.
No,
as
exactly. So it's
Batman Begins. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
But it's not the Dark Knight. Right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Ah.
So,
well, Will, Drew has one as top 10. Will I? I organize my soundboard. So.
Good job. I was about to say, Chris, these are kind of on point. This is very odd for you.
I think I finally got a good board here, buddy. So long. So 90s.
Anyway,
here's how I approach mine. I've rewritten this list at least five times in the last 3 days.
I'm sure. Oh God, yeah.
But this is how I did it, though, Drew. And I think we might differ a little here based on some off-mic convo. Let's bring some on-mic convo into the situation.
Uh-huh.
I had my number 1 and number 15. 1 and 15 never changed. I had that shit bracketed easily.
Wow.
No problem
whatsoever. Wow. I had an issue with number 1.
You had an issue with number 1. Awesome. My 2 through 14 is a clusterfuck. 2 through... let me actually look at my list. 2 through 6 could all be... Those are all number 2.
I mean, yeah. No, yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. I get that. Because in all reality... No. My number 1 and 2... Well, actually, my 2 and 3 could flip kind of from time to time.
Yeah.
At this point in time, it could.
Mm-hmm.
My 1 and 2 can flip from time to time.
Okay.
And then 2 and 3 can flip from time
to time.
There
you go. Yeah, that's my thing.
And then, like, 4 through 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, pretty much the rest are all just kind of there.
Kind of arbitrary. I found a thing where it's like my 2 through, like, 5, I was constantly rearranging those for no particular reason. my 7 and 8 are interchangeable. And then 9, 10, 11, and 12, like you can see why they'd all be lumped together when I give them to you, except for one of them. One's gonna be like, "What?" But then I'm gonna have to explain and be like, "Oh, okay." Anyway, all right. Let's start with the honorable mentions. What movies for you, Drew? Do you wanna mention? Didn't make the cut. I mean, however you want to do it.
Alien Covenant unfortunately didn't make the cut.
Oh yeah,
it was good.
Enjoyable.
It was good. Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Lego Batman didn't make the cut. War for the Planet of the Apes didn't make the cut.
Let me see if I can follow along with you. Alien Covenant and War for Planet of the Apes. War for Planet of the Apes for me is like a like number 16. Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. Yeah.
Kong Skull Island didn't make the cut.
There you go.
Neither did Three Billboards.
Three Billboards, all right.
I really enjoyed Free Fire as well.
Free Fire.
But it wasn't.
Free Fire.
Didn't make it. Ingrid Goes West. Neither.
Which one was that? Ingrid Goes West. Yeah. I didn't see Ingrid Goes West. Yeah. That's on my I did not see list.
Yeah.
There you go. But you saw good enough, but not.
Good enough, but not. It didn't make the cut. All right.
And is there any other one specifically you want to be like, ah?
Well, I do, but it turned in, since we're doing 15, it turned into my number 15.
Okay, cool. So. All right. So, yeah, no problem. Well, then I will say, I'll throw out there, including the ones that you said, some of the ones that you said, you know, spoiler alert. Split.
Oh, yeah.
It was a really fun movie.
It was.
Fate of the Furious is good. I really enjoyed it. Submarine stuff and all that. But, you know, it's not the best of even the fate of the recent Furious movies. So.
Yeah, the one where they dropped the cars out of the fucking helicopters or the planes.
That's one with Tony Jaa. That was six, I
that
think.
That one was fun.
Luke Evans, yeah. Those are the Justin Lin ones, man. Those are great. Do you remember Slight? Did you ever see that one?
Slight, yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that was great.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Spider-Man Homecoming, speaking of comic book movies. Logan Lucky. It. I enjoyed those movies very much.
It was good. Yeah.
It was good. Indeed good. Killing of a Sacred Deer. So creepy. I enjoyed it so much, but just didn't make the cut. Disaster Artist. Also, I enjoyed quite a bit. And I'd be remiss if I didn't admit I enjoyed Star Wars The Last Jedi very much. And the vitriol that movie is getting is, be honest, beyond me. I don't understand why people.
I don't understand.
Some people hate it. You see? Yeah.
Yes. No. Totally relevant. Totally relevant. Welcome to the fucking circus.
There we go. That was very circus like. I had a drink here, and that's the one thing that didn't move, so we're good to go. I don't understand the hatred that it's getting.
Me neither. You know, because seriously, the one that came before was worse.
Yes.
By far.
Yes. This one had ideas. Other than let's copy Star Wars. Mm-hmm. This one was like, let's make something cool with it anyway. I'm kind of looking forward to Rian Johnson's own trilogy, see what he does. So, and then also, I'm going to throw out there movies that people talk about loving, and I've been wanting to see, and I just not getting around to it, need to get around to it. I should have. The Big Sick.
Yeah, I never got to see that.
It's on the Amazon.
I know. I'm aware of all this.
I got to get the Amazon hooked up in here. Girls Trip. I gotta get it's on anything stream that I know.
I really just don't care about that at all.
It's got great reviews.
I know, I just don't care.
Man, I wanna see that. I only saw like the first 20 minutes of The Florida Project.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it.
And I also haven't seen Coco, which my dad loves Coco. Also, people like I, Tonya a lot. So
yeah, a lot. I've been hearing a lot about that recently.
But it hasn't even played here yet.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's playing here this weekend. I don't know what's going on. How come we're not getting what's going on? A fairly decent sized market. And due to its length, 2 hours and 20 minutes, and my lack of time, I haven't seen Molly's Game.
Yeah,
people really enjoyed that. I love Jessica Chastain. All about that Jessica Chastain. Mm-hmm. So there we go. Man, how are we gonna understand what it is? Oh, perfect. I have Billy D's honorable mentions.
All right.
So I got Billy D's email, and I didn't really read it. I can see that he broke it up into sections, and I'm trying not to spoil it for myself. Yeah. Even threw best albums in here, because you know, he can't. He's Bill. So here we go. He has honorable mentions in here. Any one of these could easily be on this top 10, but had to be cut. So consider all these like top 15 worthy. War for Planet of the Apes, Colossal, I didn't see that. Good Time, Free Fire, Drew, you mentioned, Baby Driver, Mother, exclamation point, Blade of the Immortal, I don't know what that is, Alien Covenant, which you started off with. There you go. So on similar wavelengths with some of these things. What do you want to do? Let's do the bottom. Let's do the worst.
Okay.
Let's get the hatred out of the way.
Okay.
The snark.
Yeah.
What do you got? How many do you even have?
Seven.
Seven?
My seven movies that I was like, you know what? No, yeah. These movies were shit.
Yeah, what's your criteria? How do you come up with these?
Basically, either movies that I was excited for, or movies that had the talent or the writing, or everything was there for this movie to be great.
Potential.
And it was garbage.
That's why.
And not even just garbage due to the potential. It was just fucking garbage.
And then on top of that, it was actually bad. Not even just lacking. It's actually bad. I'm classifying, it's the same criteria for me, which is why I'm actually calling mine the most disappointing list. But, you know, for downloads and stuff, the title of the episode is Best and Worst.
And Worst.
These are the worst.
These are the worst.
For me, it's just most disappointing. Sounds like for you, it's pretty similar. go ahead and give me your entire list. However you want to do it.
Going with the Great Wall.
Disappointing.
Yeah, it was really
disappointing. You know what?
Matt Damon. That's all that shit. I mean...
You know what? Let's see what we match up on. Great Wall was my number three most disappointing.
I
mean,
I don't even have numbers. They're just they're just disappointing.
I numbered them.
Yeah. Okay.
Funnily enough, as opposed to the top 15, my bottom 10, I was really easy. 1, 2, 3, 4. I was like, that was easy. Okay, so here
Great
we go.
Great Wall. The Belko experiment.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Such a great idea.
Yeah.
They could have had so much fun with that, and they did not.
With that one, it was just competently made enough, I felt. I was actually thinking about that. Was it today I was thinking about that movie? Ether Man doing its thing. I was thinking, because I was in an office, and I was like, man, that movie where like they didn't use nothing.
No.
They just had guns in there, and like, let's get into the armory. So why does this office building have an armory? Anyway, go ahead.
T2, Trainspotting.
Yeah, so that was my number 9 out of 10. So, I mean, it was such a nothing of a movie. What even happened in that?
Why did they even make it?
Why? Who? They're always like, yeah, we'll come back to it. We have a good idea. They always say the same thing. Yeah. It's a good script.
A good script. It wasn't a good idea. You had nothing.
The best parts of that movie when they referenced the first one. They even showed clips from the first one. Yeah. And it made me be like, oh, yeah.
That movie was good.
I should just watch that.
Ghost in the Shell?
Yes, that's my number 6. Yes.
The Circle?
That was my number 5.
The first time I haven't liked Tom Hanks in a really long time.
And the first James Ponsoldt movie I didn't like. The Spectacular Now. The End of the Tour. Yep. That guy is good. And then he's working with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And what's her name?
Emma Watson.
And who's his face?
Yep.
And...
Yep. The Mummy.
That's my number 4. You're going in order now. Yes, you got it. So much potential.
And for, at least for me, last but certainly not least, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Oh, that was my number 2. Yes.
Just... so bad.
What the hell?
Like, it was a beautiful mess, but it was a fucking mess.
I am ultimately glad that I saw it in the 3D.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, but, definitely, but still, no, it was...
All right, well, to round out my top 10, my number 10 was Justice League.
Yeah, it was seriously not even worth talking about.
My number 8 was The Snowman.
Yeah, that was just downright bad.
The first Thomas Alfredson movie I didn't like, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. It's fantastic. I didn't say, as a guy who make Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, not make this. Anyway, A Cure for Wellness was a bummer.
I didn't see it.
It's a bummer.
I wanted to.
Yes, because it looks so good. Yeah. You got the rest all the way down to my number 1, by far easily the worst, most disappointing for me movie of the year was The Dark Tower.
Well, yeah, that's more of a personal thing for you.
Yeah, it was, absolutely. Yeah. But it's also, like you said, to start... poorly made.
No, oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not only is it not a good adaptation, it's just not a good movie.
Once again, at least for me, like, not even worth thinking about. Like, why even mention it on a list?
Plenty of movies like that.
Just forget about it.
Well, let's get into Bill's. The worst films. These movies are, all caps, the worst movies ever. They mostly just disappointed me, or even worse, bored me. That is the number one sin. Man. Don't bore me. Offend me. Make me mad.
Please.
Don't bore me. All tied for the worst. These are all number 1, the worst movie. The Bye Bye Man, which did look terrible. Yeah. Even the title. Justice League. I got it right. Jigsaw. My brother said he just saw that, and he said it was terrible. Shout out to my brother. Wish Upon. That's a Wish Box.
Oh, yeah, the Wish Box.
Wish Box. Dead Awake. Which one is Dead Awake? The Dark Tower. Yes, Bill's on my side. The Circle and Ghost in the Shell. A lot of movies I already talked about. Yep. Very, very cool. Albums, Drew, what your top 10 albums? Go.
Oh, I don't even know.
Like, of the year, I think I listened to 2 new albums this entire year.
Hang on, let's see.
Who's got time?
I mean, I think, did Tycho put out an album last year? I think maybe his new album came out last year. That was good. I saw the tour. I can't even think of another, like, full album.
Ridiculous, that, right?
Even though I listen to a lot of music.
M.I.A. put out an album in 2016 that I discovered in 2017. Does that count?
Yeah! All right! Ooh, a
lot of stuff like that happened.
Future and Young Thug put out an album together called Super Slimy.
Oh, yeah?
And it is just that.
That's really funny.
It is super slimy, Chris.
That is super funny. Who was someone... Did Dillinger Escape Plan come out last year? Dillinger Escape Plan put out their album last year. Yeah. That was pretty good. So there you go.
Have you heard the new Migos album?
No, I haven't gotten
Culture
it.
Culture 2 just came out.
Culture 2, they're on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Are they?
Yeah, wearing clear plastic raincoats.
Dude, they outstreamed the Beatles last year on Spotify for the first time ever.
Oh, yeah? Good for them.
For the first time ever. Since Spotify has been around, the Beatles have been number 1. For the first time ever. Migos. Good. Fucking beat them.
You know what? Danny Glover calling the voice of Generations.
Dude, apparently they are.
I guess I'm going to have to listen to more Migos.
Yeah.
Well, here's Bill's No Order, just a list of bitchin' albums that melts my fucking face off this year. I think that Metal. Every Time I Die album came out last year, 2017.
That wasn't bad.
Low Teens. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Low Teens. It's good. I can listen to that start to finish. The Black Dahlia Murder, Nightbringers.
Oh, they put out an album guaranteed to be good.
It's good. See, but it's just Black Dahlia Murder.
Exactly.
Like, every song sounds the same.
They're like, they are like the Pennywise of heavy metal.
Yes.
They found a sound. They fucking stuck to it. But you know what? I like it.
It's fine. They can keep doing it. If it's good for you, it works, right? Converge, The Dusk In Us. I haven't listened to that. Power Trip. Nightmare, I don't know what these are. Nightmare
metal.
Logic.
It's metal, all metal. Chris.
Mutoid metal. Man.
This is Bill. Metal.
Elder. Primitive Man. These are all bands.
Yep.
All right, I know Cannibal Corpse. Apparently they have an album. Good for them. Dying Fetus, I know them. Their album's called Wrong One to Fuck With. Paul Bearer.
Oh, they're still around?
No, that's the manager. Remember him?
Yeah, I do, but he's talking about the...
No, he's dead. Paul Bearer, yeah. And He Is Legend. But I have an album this year, yeah, so enjoy. Then we got the honorable mentions, and here's his best stuff. Here's the beginning of the email. What's up, my dudes?
But he's got 10, so we should do our bottom 5 first.
Correct.
And then we can all do 10.
Sorry for the delay. What delay? There's no delay. It's been a crazy week, and 2017 was surprisingly tough to rate. Lots of great stuff. Here are my best and worst best.
Surprisingly best tough is correct. I didn't think it was going to be as rough, and then I started going through the list, and I was like, oh!
Why is this so hard? All right, well then, let's give me, what's your 15?
We're gonna go with Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Ooh, yes.
It made the list for me for 15.
That was the one that you wanted to mention then.
No.
Oh, wait,
number
no.
14.
Okay. Is, so exciting.
Killing of a Sacred Deer. It was such a weird movie, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk, everyone is, there's nothing original happening in Hollywood these days.
Right.
Go watch Killing of a Sacred Deer and you tell me it's not fucking original.
Yeah, that played in theaters.
People watch this.
That was out there for people to see.
Yes.
Nicole Kidman's in it. It has movie stars.
So weird. Exactly. It's so weird.
It's not like something random. There were trailers. They marketed it.
Yeah, no, it's a very such an odd movie.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
It was good.
Sure. That's like a top 20 for me. My 15 is a cheat. Because I lumped together comic book movies.
Okay.
Thor: Colon Ragnarok and / Wonder Woman.
Okay.
I enjoyed them both a ton and already blew through. Already, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Slight disorder. Comic book just inspired. Spider-Man Homecoming. And wasn't there another? Yeah. I already blew through those as well. So many comic book movies. And almost all of them were good. Like, DC, get on your... Well, you got one of them, DC. We put out two. One of them was good. I enjoyed Thor: Ragnarok. Very funny. Wonder Woman, very cool, very good. That's my 15. I cheated. What's your 14?
Life. That's the one I wanted to talk about.
I remember Life. Yeah.
And you want to know why I want to talk about it? Because it was the only movie that I saw this year that had a not happy ending. Like the ending.
Really?
Fucking alien comes to Earth and Earth is fucked and it's going to infect. Everybody's going to die.
Uh huh.
And
I'm looking through my movies.
Nothing. There was almost no other movie that ended on like just such a down
downer
note,
like a Twilight Zone twisted knife into you. Boom.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean that does not happen in American cinema like ever.
It does sometimes. But you're right. Right now, I'm looking at the rest of my movies. None of them end out in a bummer.
I had to make sure to mention that movie and have it on the list strictly because of that, because it went there, Chris.
Very interesting.
It went there.
It did go there. Yeah, it's kind of, you feel like they almost wrote it backwards.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
They had this fun ending, like, how do we get there? I feel like I appreciate the tone, but looking back, I think maybe that the movie took itself a little too seriously.
Oh, it totally did.
A little too ponderous.
Especially with casting choices that they made.
In what way?
Made it almost...
Deadpool. We have Deadpool and he's not Deadpool. That's the thing. He's forever Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds no longer exists. Blake Lively is married to Deadpool.
It's not that. It's Ryan Reynolds has always played certain... He is a certain character.
He's always the same type of character.
He cannot be taken. He is not meant for the super serious. That's not who he is.
He's mouthy.
Exactly. You can't know. I do not believe Ryan Reynolds is a fucking astronaut.
He's got that.
I'm sorry.
He's got that Canadian mouthiness.
Exactly.
I don't know what that means. Yeah, but you're right. Yeah. casting is kind of important with these things. Mm-hmm. So that's your 14?
Yeah.
My 14 is Kong Skull Island, which I enjoyed quite a bit. I like that it's a big crazy monster movie with a bunch of wild, especially in 3D, like looking in 3D, wild shots, you know, Samuel Jackson going all Colonel Kurtz crazy. The shot where him and Kong like stare at each other and like you see the reflection of each other in each other's eyes. Whenever they did a close-up of King Kong's eyes, I was like, damn, this guy gets it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I enjoyed it. 13.
Go. Logan Lucky.
Ah, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, it's Soderbergh, you know, White Trash Ocean 6, I guess.
Yeah, what did they call the movie? Oceans.
Oh, they even called it
Ocean 7-Eleven.
Yeah, exactly.
Ocean 7-Eleven. That was very funny. That was cute.
You know, I mean, Daniel Craig was fucking phenomenal.
Joe Bang.
So much fun.
That's a great character.
Bleach blonde hair. That's fucking.
If they came up with like an entirely different movie, but that character was in it, I'd be like, yes.
I
like a side character.
I would love to see, after Bond and everything, Daniel Craig come back to the further adventures of Joe Bang.
The further adventures of Joe Bang. We'll write the script and send it to Soderbergh. Yeah. I mean, if it's good enough, it'll be like, here's $2 million. I'll supply the Daniel Craig.
Yeah, please. We can't afford Daniel Craig on that budget.
He's like, I get you guys. He'll do it. Trust me. That's awesome. All right. 13 for me. Baby Driver.
Oh,
so that made Bill's honorable.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. The editing's a wild, crazy bit of feat of artistry, and the music's very cool. And it's Edgar Wright, man. It's fun. It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. There you go. What's your number 12?
My number 12 is Baby Driver.
Oh, right there. Right on the back of that. So it's practically the same thing.
Exactly.
In your last minute top 15, you squeeze Baby Driver in there. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to point out about it? It's got Kevin Spacey. That's fun.
Yeah, okay.
He gets hit by a car. Spoiler alert.
Kevin Spacey.
I guess we should say spoiler alert for all these movies.
The music. The music was one of the driving forces behind Baby
Driver.
It's
a great soundtrack,
really liked it.
It's a deep soundtrack, too. On Spotify,
yeah.
15?
Exactly. Yeah, it's really 25? It's really good. Muy bueno.
How's that cat?
Cat's fine. Actually, she's surprisingly less mouthy.
Good.
I think it was you.
No, it was you. Always you.
You.
It was always you.
Something about you.
No, she was quiet until you came home. And it was meh.
Now she doesn't. She really doesn't talk all that much. Mm. It's kind of odd.
Oh, she misses me. That's why.
Maybe.
Number 12. That's what we're on.
Something like that. 11. I don't know.
Okay, my number 12 is Atomic Blonde. Because this is where things really start getting murky.
Yeah. No, I feel you.
Like I said earlier, my 12, 11, 10, and 9 kept swapping. So my next, sure, whatever, it's a mess. But Atomic Blonde, great action. It's a very cool movie. I love the design, the look of it, the costumes, the all the actors are great. James McAvoy, between that and Split, you know, he had a fun genre year. So there you go. That was my 12. So I guess you're on 11.
Sure. John Wick 2.
That's my 11. Yes.
Boom. Because, I mean, it's John Wick 2.
It's John Wick 2. It's
John Wick 2. I mean, it was good. It was, you know, expanding on the universe. I mean, now we've got two great John Wick movies. I mean,
and
they're, as you can see with Atomic Blonde, you know, they are influencing the action game.
Well, now those two, since they split up and they made those movies, yes. And now that the guy who did Atomic Blonde... Now, his next movie is Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
So now take that John Wick, Atomic Blonde style, apply it to Deadpool. Come on, that movie's going to be fucking wild.
People think they
know what they're in store for.
They have no fucking idea.
I don't think they do,
no.
Drew.
They have no fucking idea.
I think we know.
Oh, I think we do.
And I think people who listen to our show now, they know. They understand what's going on, or the alchemy that's happening behind the scenes there. Yeah. It's going to be, like, they're going to blow that Tim Miller down. Tim Miller, meanwhile... taking his services now on the new Terminator movie, where his journeyman style I think is going to actually work fine over there. Meanwhile, swinging all the way back around to John Wick Chapter 3, for sure happening, for sure. Chad Stahelski signed back on. He's completing the trilogy. And then on top of that, executive producing along with Keanu Reeves, The Continental.
Oh, about the hotel?
About the hotel.
Even better.
About the West Coast Hotel. So the New York Hotel is the one we keep seeing in the movie, and then 2 is in Europe.
Yeah.
the in London, right? I think
something like that.
The this is the one that's in California, like in L.A. Okay. So Ian McShane will probably pop up quite a bit, maybe. What's his name? The guy, concierge. He's always, well, he's in the New York hotel. Maybe they'll find a way. The guy transferred to the L.A. one, you know, for guy needs to work. Lance Reddick.
Yes.
And I'm sure they'll get Keanu Reeves like cameo in the first episode. That's going to be on Stars, I think. So
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That's 11. All right, here we go. Number 10. Let's see what Bill's 10 is. At number 10, Bill comes in with three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. Yes. What you said, no.
Yeah, and I just didn't make it. I mean, it was good, and I understand why it would make people's lists. I get it.
Yeah, me too. I just realized it's not on my top 15 either.
Just for me personally, it just didn't make the cut. I had more fun with other movies this year.
I had more fun. I think Three Billboards is well made. It's well written in terms of story plotting is interesting. You know, the twists and turns keep coming, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of good stuff to like about it, which is why people are responding to it. Why it's sort of like a bit of a front runner to win some Oscars, and mostly because of the some awards it just won. But it has issues, though, in terms of, like, this is a movie, obviously, a European fella, right, and an English guy, I think he's Irish, an Irish guy writing a movie about middle of America. He knows nothing about middle of America. And he wants to throw in some, like, some race relations and some other stuff, some, like, police brutality stuff. And it's like, in those terms, we really don't know what you're talking about. And it's kind of very surface level, like, fake wokeness, you know, it's not working. It's a reason for a white guy to use the N-word without repercussion. I don't know. That's what it felt like to me.
Okay.
You know, like he doesn't get it. He doesn't get the N-word. He doesn't really get to use it. Even through the.
I was about to say, but he's Irish.
He's Irish. He doesn't get to use it. He's straight up Irish. I'm an Irish American. He's Irish. He doesn't get to use the N-word. And even by surrogate, by proxy of writing a character of Sam Rockwell and him doing it, that's not cool. So anyway. Hold on a second. Let me just get off my high horse here.
You feel better now?
No, here's my butt. Sit on that thing. It's a pointy horse. All right. So three billboards makes, right? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right, there we go. You're number 10.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yes, that was my 15. Yes.
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi.
I can't believe a Thor movie made my top 10 of the year.
That's ridiculous.
Which blows my mind.
It's ridiculous we're even talking about it. And yes, it's so good.
But it was action packed. It was funny. Jeff Goldblum is a space DJ, for Christ's sake.
And that's like a side gig.
Yeah. So I mean, how can you not enjoy this fucking batshit crazy movie?
For real.
And some of the cinematography was straight up some of the most beautiful things I've seen all year long.
Live versions of like classic rock albums from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Ralph Bakshi,
they look like paintings, they look like classical oil paintings, just they're in slow motion all of a sudden. It's like, what is going on?
It's like, what if Thor was drawn by Hieronymus Bosch? Here's an image of that right here. It's beautiful, beautiful movie. Is it on Netflix yet?
No, man. I don't know.
It just made me want to watch it.
Am I still on your Netflix account? I haven't tried using it.
We got. That's why I need that Amazon account, yo.
We can trade.
We got to swap that info.
That's fine.
I'll cut that out.
That's fine.
I'm being distracted by my phone because I'm pulling up.
Right, number 9.
That was my. You know, my number. Your number 10 was Thor.
Yeah.
My number 10 is Logan.
Because
man. I wanted to cry at the end of that movie, and it's a Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
It's an X-Men movie, but at the end I was like, oh.
But at the end you're like, oh, I was like, don't die!
He's like, I know what it's like to love someone, and then they turn me across into an X. I was like, no! It's good, man. It's a really good movie.
You know, it really earned the rated R status.
In many ways.
A, for, you know, obviously the bloody adamantium claw death.
Very violent.
Because, oh man, have I been waiting so long for that.
Thank God, properly violent, finally. Just before that Disney acquisition. What timing.
And then also, you know, I mean, it told a very concise, tight little story.
Yeah.
And it proved that you can tell a real story with these fantastic characters. years, and you fucking knock it out of the ballpark.
It doesn't have to be about there's a hole in outer space and there's a beam in the middle of the city, and now the world is gonna explode.
Professor X has a brain tumor. I'm old and dying, and there are these young kids that we need to help. Let's go.
So sad. And then the idea, the concept of what happens when the world's most powerful telepath gets mental illness.
Yeah. Like,
oh, no.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
When he sees out people around, I'm like, ah.
Yeah. They can't breathe. Yeah, dude. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It's higher on my list.
There you go. That's higher on your list. All right. Well, let's get going on with the list. Going on to bill number 9, Thor.
There we go. Rock,
which we just just wrapped ecstatic about. Yeah. You're number 9?
Dunkirk.
Oh, Dunkirk. Yes.
Right. I mean, it's Christopher Nolan.
It's Christopher Nolan.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's Christopher Nolan. What are you going to do? It's so good. And then we saw it on the IMAX Orlando. So that obviously helps a lot.
I love how he's been fucking with time, like pretty much his entire movie career.
Yeah. Narrative time devices in terms of Memento goes backwards, Insomnia, Insomnia's a little different.
Inception? The way
Inception's all fucked up. Insomnia, he fucks with time in the commentary track. He records his commentary track in order of scenes being shot, so the movie is then presented all crazy out of order, and then it's known like, okay, so on this day we were shot this, and then next day, all right, it's wild. It's a weird watch. Number 9, right?
Yeah.
Number 9, Lady Bird.
Oh.
It's a wonderful thing when you watch a movie and you kind of like, you really feel empathy with that main character and you see yourself in the main character, but then it's also a bummer when that main character is like, man, she kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we are all human and therefore shit.
We all suck, no. Yes. And we're just trying, and they even use a line in the trailer when the mom is like, what did she say? It's like, I just want you to be better or whatever.
Mm-hmm. He's like, well, what if this is the best version of
me? Yeah, it's like, I just want you to be the best version of you. It's like, what if this is it? And that, kind of struck an unfortunate chord. and the movie, it's just like super well made. It's really good. I just remember seeing it and like kind of being surprised, even going into it, knowing that it was super well reviewed.
Yeah.
I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it, and I was into it. And
I agree 100%.
So there you go. Number 9 was for me. It was Lady Bird. For Bill, number 8, The Void. Have you seen that one?
No.
I saw The Void as part of my Crespo Hundo. Actually, okay. Hashtag Crespo Hundo. Follow us on Twitter. Join the Facebook group for that kind of stuff. A lot of fun. It's a cool, horror film, very Carpenter-esque, 80s, early 80s inspired type stuff, cool score and all that. For me, though, there was just something kind of...
Not there.
It was missing something for me.
Yeah.
Huge emphasis on special effects, practical effects, very cool. And also had some very big, fun ideas presented in a cool way towards the beginning and then during the climax. That I was like, this is, it's definitely interesting. Mm-hmm. It definitely was. It's more than just your average horror film, that's for sure. So I can see why that would make his top 10. You're number 8,
Lady Bird.
Hey, look at that! There you go. See, you're a Lady Bird. Are you a Lady Bird too?
Or is it
more with the mom? Is it because that's so a well-realized relationship? And even the dad too.
The whole thing. I mean, it was. She's a messed up girl. It was a messed up family.
Yeah.
Living in a messed up time in a messed up world. I can relate.
Unfulfilled expectations and being
life is... Well, here's the thing, Chris. I don't know if you feel this way, but when I was growing up in the 1980s, I was sold the American dream. I was told that I was going to go to school, and then I was going to go to college, then I was going to get a job, then I was going to get married.
Get married on land.
I was going to have my own kids, so on and so forth. And the cycle
become a manager at the plant.
Exactly. So on and so forth. The cycle would continue.
Retire.
And you know what? I was totally okay with that. That's totally not the way things happened.
No, man.
Like, at all. Like, in this, like, I veered off course way early.
We got sold a bill of goods on that one. That's
not for everyone. I was definitely sold a future in the 1980s that was never,
And then as such, it's like Like Lady Bird, it's like, I'm trying to find my place in life. I want to fit in, but I don't fit into any of these roots. What college can I go to? Can I go to Harvard? No.
Can't go to Harvard. Harvard. What are you, fucking stupid? Come on. Like,
apparently, I want to be better.
Yeah.
I don't want to try that hard at it. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. Very cool that Greta Gerwig is nominated for Best Director.
No.
Only the fifth female ever to be nominated for Best Director in 90 years of Academy Award voting.
God damn.
I'm pretty sure there's more than 5 good movies by women.
Yeah.
In 90 years. I think, Drew, the next bonus episode we should do should be... Well, no. Oscar picks. Is it too early to do Oscar picks? We'll do Oscar picks in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Put you on notice for now.
I gotta see some shit.
You might have to see some shit. My number 8. Your number 8 was Lady Bird.
Uh-huh.
My number 8 was The Post.
Mr. Stefan Spielberg.
Senor Spielberg. He makes movies like a world class chef makes the best meals in the world.
Seriously,
if he's using ingredients you don't like, even at the end of the day, like, I just don't like fish. Like, this is the best fish ever made. I'll take a bite of it. Like, I don't like it. But it's like, I know this is the best fish ever. Because
you know, seriously, it does. I mean, at this point in time, I think I'm just taking him for granted.
I think that's happening. As a matter of fact, I read a thing recently that I was like, he's actually been taken for granted this entire time. The only time he ever really got Academy Award consideration was Schindler's List. Even The Color Purple got nominated for some stuff, but won nothing. And other than that, he's been nominated for stuff, but he's won nothing. His movies get nothing.
Really?
Yes. When it comes to awards, his shelf is kind of light.
Really? Yeah. That is fucking surprising as shit, because he's like the best in the business.
Hey, what I've been saying for years, awards for art is whack, dude. It's whack. It's because he works in almost purely commercial terms as well.
He makes
mainstream movies almost exclusively.
No, he is.
The Munichs are rare.
He is mainstream movie.
He invented.
He is the heart and soul of mainstream
of modern cinema.
Yeah.
He has influenced the modern language of movies more than
anybody almost that I can think of.
It's like the Lumiere brothers, right? Georges Méliès, Alfred Hitchcock, Kubrick, Spielberg. And then we're still waiting.
Yeah. It's like, and the next one is...
And everyone's just like, now it's just variations of a theme from that point.
I mean, there are lots of people who are very good, but they're still not fucking Steven Spielberg.
Right. And then in terms of the movie and the themes and everything, it's like very modern and relevant. It's so weird.
Although, you know what? I guess he's too mainstream.
For what?
Like a hard... I want Steven Spielberg to do something hard.
The last hard movie he did was Munich.
I mean,
Munich is brutal. It's a tough movie.
Yeah.
That's the last time. That's like the only time I've ever in a movie where I've seen someone get machine gunned. Like, I've actually felt it. I was like, oh, that's
really.
Yeah, it's weird how there's a shot in the beginning, in the early beginning, when people with the guns are in the background and they start shooting at people that are in the foreground but facing that way, and then it's just the way the squibs go off on their shirt, and then the way the blood is splattering on the wall behind them. It's like ultimate violent. And I just remember being affected, like, whoa, that was... And this is like, I'm in my 20s at this point. I've seen Battle Royale, and I've seen the hardest stuff.
You've seen shit.
I know who Takeshi Miike is, and I'm in the theater, I'm like, whoa. Like, oof, my stomach, I feel that. He's a master. So the Post, great movie, I enjoyed it, and I'm sure it'll just grow in stature over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7 for Bill is The Shape of Water.
Oh.
The Shape of Water, which we will be talking about in the future.
Uh-huh.
Number 7, go.
Number 7, Atomic Blonde.
Ah, yes, a hire for you. Very cool.
Well, for me,
you mentioned a lot of action.
It is. I mean, it's the next evolution of this whole modern action thing that's going on right now.
Post
John Wick. John Wick.
It is not post. Yeah, we are now living in a post John Wick / The Raid world.
Exactly.
We can't forget The Raid. Yeah.
So you know, I mean, at this point in time, you know, for me, Atomic Blonde's cream of the crop. It is action heavy.
Mm-hmm.
We're throwing in some psychological thriller with the spy stuff and the twists and the ties.
Double twist, triple twist,
and then they fucking go straight up 90s sleaze with it too.
They did a little bit, yeah.
Which it's been so long since I've had my dose of 90s sleaze that it was refreshing.
Because the internet porn and stuff, nudity and sex is so readily available. Yeah. It's like people, it's like, well, we can't sell movies based on sex anymore because that's like, why?
Yeah.
Sex is everywhere. It's not a commodity.
It was fucking hot.
But they use it in the movie as like this is, yeah. No, we're going to have some, this is, it's 89. This
exactly.
Is what
yeah,
it's
no,
cool.
it worked.
It was fun. It was good stuff.
I enjoyed it.
It's very male gazy, but you know what?
Yes.
I'm sorry, ladies, we're males.
I'm a dude. I can't help myself.
We dudes, we try to be woke, but sometimes we fall asleep. And then we got to wake up again. It was very sexy. It was very, very sexy.
So sexy.
My number seven. You said this already, right? Dunkirk.
Yes.
Yes. That's, I mean, what else can you say? Yeah, Christopher Nolan. What did you say? Christopher Nolan have said?
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan. He's going to be another one. He's another one where we're like, look, we're going to be taking this guy for granted pretty soon. Yep. He just makes great movies, and Dunkirk is fantastic. Number six, for Bill. You mentioned it already. We both mentioned Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Oh, there we go. He liked it a little bit more than us.
There we go. Very, I mean,
it's
very awesome.
A fucking weird ass movie.
It's a weird, wild movie. It's
so
strange.
Cool.
Yorgos Lanthimos adapting Greek tragedy. I want to see more of that.
Yeah.
I want to see modern what Yorgos does next.
I would like to see more modern adaptations of lesser known classic stories.
I mean, they've survived for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason why people still know them and study them hundreds, if not thousands, of years later. There's a reason why Shakespeare lasts, whereas all his contemporaries faded away. And it has nothing to do with, like, publicists or nothing, and everything to do with the timeliness, the contemporariness of it. It's very interesting. So there you go. Claim a sacred deer for him. The Post and Dunkirk for me are kind of flippable, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, my 6 through 2 are flippable. Yeah. For you, what was it? It was like 6 and...
It was the like these last 6 or 7 you of can, them. They're, you all, know, they're all just kind
like
of
for you,
thrown
like
in
the,
there.
Like the next 2 can be flipped for each one? All right. Well, what's your number 6?
Logan.
Logan. Ah, yes. There we go. Fantastic.
Because Logan. Because we already talked about it.
How great it is.
And yeah, I'm a comic book nerd, so it that one... really got me.
They got you.
They got me.
It's good.
They got me.
It's good. They finally.
They fucking finally did. finally, I got what I fucking wanted and needed for so long.
And it only took them 17 years of trying with the same actor over and over.
To finally get it right.
Like, I think we got it. Fellas, I think we got it. My number 6, which at times could have been my number 2, so that's how it's just going to go from now on. Phantom Thread.
Nah, you see that.
And I know what you said on the last episode.
You
didn't even really like it all that much.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, I appreciated it for what it was, mm-hmm. and I obviously sat through the movie and paid the money to see it.
You did not get up and walk out. I can attest to that.
I didn't get up and walk out.
Drive away, take an Uber home.
I would even recommend it to certain people who like certain types of movies and this, that, the other. Just for me personally, it was not my cup of tea.
There you go. Which is I totally understand that. I found for me it's a type of thing where the more I think about it, the more I like it, and I started falling down a interview/article think PC Phantom Thread wormhole. So like I read.
So was he doing his best Werner Herzog impression?
I have not found any confirmation of that. It was so he's doing the English for Herzog. Need confrontations. No, like I read a great article in, I think it was Bon Appetit, wrote an article about the food in the movie, which is like, this is really good stuff here. I read a great Daniel Day-Lewis interview, an awesome P.T. Anderson interview, a great Vicky Creeps. Remember I was like, I think she's Frenchish?
Mm-hmm.
Luxembourg.
Oh, yeah, French-ish.
French-ish. She's from Luxembourg. She did a great interview talking about getting to work with Daniel Day-Lewis and... et cetera, et cetera. The first time they ever met face-to-face, Drew, was their first day filming, shooting a scene together.
Oh, wow.
It was their first time.
That's crazy.
Met. Yeah, pretty wild. So, yeah, Phantom Thread, I like it quite a bit. And I think also I just like, as I get older, more sentimental, I'm liking these types of movies. Like Brooklyn, I liked a lot. Was that a year or two ago with Saoirse Ronan?
Oh, you're becoming a sap.
I think so. Unfortunately, it's a weird thing.
It happens when you get old.
Can you become a sap but also like close yourself off to everything at the same time?
Yes.
That's what's happening. what's number 5 for Bill? All caps, Logan.
He likes it even more than both of us.
There you go. Boom. Logan, number 5 for Billy D. What's your number 5?
Get Out.
That's my number five. Hey, we've had one.
Oh, is this going to happen?
We'll see. We'll see what happens. This will be interesting.
It might happen.
Especially considering your flip-floppiness on one and two.
Well, because I've been listening to what movies we've been saying, and they're...
There are a handful of movies that are missing.
Yeah.
This happens every year, Drew. This happens every year. So, yes.
So, yeah, Get Out.
Get Out, yeah, dude. I mean,
I mean, it was groundbreaking for what it was. It was ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, it's scary, but not for, like, traditional horror reasons.
Yeah.
You know? But it's still just as fucking scary, man.
It's interesting how it gets you, man.
Yeah.
The way it takes social issues, and it's like, we're going to just make this a straight up second Twilight Zone reference. A Twilight Zone, like, horror fest. And now that it's nominated for a bunch of stuff, like Best Picture... it's no longer a horror film, Drew. It is now a psychological thriller.
Oh.
Yes. Silence of the Lambs is a horror film until it got nominated.
Yeah. And then it's a psychological
thriller. Because horror films don't get nominated for awards. Because it's the junk genre.
Yep.
It's fantastic. Yeah, so it's actually a really big deal in those terms. And that was the whole point of the whole Oscar, the Academy, making the best pictures going from 5 to up to 10. It doesn't have to be 10. Like, this year it's 9 movies. Because the year before they did that, The Dark Knight was not nominated for Best Picture. And people were like,
bro!
And maybe the Academy, maybe they looked at the numbers and were like, shit, maybe it's like the number 6 movie.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we're like, you know, we're going to be fair about this and not just include it. But it was like right there.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, let's change the rules. And it was supposed to be able to include genre movies like Get Out that make a big impact. So it's very cool that we both had number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And that was nominated. All right. And Bill, number 4. All caps. It.
Oh,
IT.
Yeah. I mean, it was fucking damn good.
It's a fun movie.
I'm really looking forward to the sequel.
Very interesting, yes. It Part 2.
Oh.
It's going to be awesome. Very interesting that it makes his top 10. It's his number 4. I remember when the trailer came out and everyone was like, oh, this trailer looks amazing. He was very lukewarm on it.
Yeah.
He was very cautious, as he should be. As you should be with anything Stephen King related. I don't care. Anything related to Stephen King, you should be cautious. But
see Dark Tower.
Dark Tower, close parentheses. There you go. Exactly. Thank you, Drew. So that was his number 4. It's your number 4. Go.
Mother.
Oh, exclamation point, Mother.
Exclamation point,
there
Mother.
There you go. Yes, man.
It's Aronofsky. What I really enjoyed about it was how much everybody fucking hated it. I mean, it made me love it so much more.
I think so. I think too. Yes, I think people hate it. It makes you want to rank it even higher.
Yeah.
It's a great, crazy movie.
It just goes off the rails. It is batshit insane. It goes off the rails. But
as a design.
But then afterwards. Like, you sit down and you think about it, and, you know, it is a very calculated, well put together film.
Mm-hmm.
Very, you know, a lot of thought was put into it. I mean,
yeah.
Goddamn you, Darren Aronofsky.
Goddamn you,
son of a bitch.
Goddamn. Him and Jennifer Lawrence broke up shortly thereafter.
Oh, of course they did.
It was all that burned hot.
And then gone.
And then gone. Yep, but it was so good.
It's all right.
It was so good. Good for them. My number 4 was Good Time.
Ah, okay. It's my number 3.
That's your number 3? Well, my number 3 is Mother.
See, there we go. All right, see? Damn it.
Yeah. So like, you can just flip them around. Good Time. It's so good.
Oh, no, dude. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw the trailer for it, too, right? What movie? We saw something that must have been
Annapurna. Yeah, exactly. And
they played the Good Time trailer.
Between the super red font and the music playing, we were both like
what is this?
Fuck yeah. Like, what is this shit?
Like, what is this? Like, New York City? Rob Pattinson looks like... He looks grimy as fuck. Like, what is this? Even seeing that... like 15, 20 minutes into the movie, not even that, no, 5 minutes into the movie, I was like, this thing is a fucking atom bomb that's like going off in my face. It is such a good movie.
Yeah.
And it's the type of thing too where I walked out of it, I was like, man, that was intense.
Wow.
But then as time went on, and especially as I'm trying to think of like good movies for the year, like I just kept thinking like, man, that movie was really good.
No, seriously, I knew Good Time. I knew it wasn't my number 1 or 2, but I knew it was in my top 5, guaranteed.
It was going to be high for you?
I knew it.
There you go. Yeah, man. I was like, ah, it's good.
Yeah, it's so good.
I want to watch it. And it's also another thing, too, where it's like, not for everyone.
Oh, no.
If someone watches, I can't. I couldn't.
Well, same thing with Mother. Like, if anybody told me they didn't like that movie, I'd be like, okay, cool.
You want a problem. But you watch it, though? Okay, cool. At least you watch it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man. Oh, good times. Okay.
It's a good time.
So we're on our top two?
Well, we need Bill's number three, because we kind of...
Oh, that's right, because we those are four and three.
Yeah.
His number three is Dunkirk.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. I'm sure he saw it in glorious 70 millimeter as well, because in New York City, you get those options as opposed to Orlando. His number two is Blade Runner 2049.
Oh.
What's your number two?
Shape of Water.
That's my number two, which means your number one is Blade Runner 2049. All right, there we go. I knew that was going to happen. All right,
so fucking top five, Chris. Our top five are pretty much the same. The
exact same goddamn movies. I knew it was going to happen. It happens every year.
It does. It really does.
All right, well, let's start with The Shape of Water.
I mean, for me, in all reality, the more I think about it, I think it's Guillermo del Toro's best movie.
You think so?
I really do. It is the most concise. It's very tight. It's a tight little short story. Mm. No loose ends. Mm. You know, there's not an insane amount of crazy weirdness for him to get lost into and forget about and this, that, the other.
I would say for sure it's best since Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
I think I would consider Pan's Labyrinth his best. So yes, I would have to sit down and think. For me, I will let Shape of Water marinate for a bit.
See what I did there with
water.
And
it's water, a lot of liquid there. Mm-hmm. Think about that. But in the consideration of his best, yes.
Yeah.
Between that, Pan's Labyrinth, Kronos is great for the exact reason you said, where it's tight. It's a small, tight, little, great movie. But it has, like, huge implications.
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Backbone is just, like, just right under those movies. Like, this is a really great, well-made, like, scary little genre movie that more people need to see. It's crazy. The same guy made Mimic.
Yeah.
Like I was like, the fuck the wine scenes. They were fucking, they weren't just fucking women. They were, like, fucking filmmakers. Fuck them. Hellboy, you could tell how they're hampered by, like, you know, the first one's like, you have to have some white guy be the lead. Your lead can't be a red dude and a fish man.
Exactly.
Another movie with a fish man.
Yep.
Man. Right?
Yeah.
No. Shape of Water's so good.
Yeah, it's fucking...
She's a mermaid lady, and he's a fish Amazon guy, and they had bathtub sex.
And at the end, they go off and do the thing.
It's so sweet. Yeah. It's so hopeful.
It's so hauntingly beautiful.
Chris. It is. It's crazy. And it's like in the same way that, like, when Mother came out, and you look back on it, it's like, man, like Paramount. They made trailers and, like, they were like, people see this movie, and then they're like, and then here's Mother. Like, what? Like, what a, it's like, it's almost like a fuck you.
Yeah.
Shape of Water, in a similar way, is like, they made this and, like, we're going to show this movie to people. Like, it's a movie about a lady falling in love with a fish man.
Yes.
It's going to be fantastic.
It is.
This is more of Antonio Banderas. And it's like, they made this for people, and everyone did their best work, and it's so good, and it's nominated. For again, a bunch of awards, and not for nothing. Octavia Spencer was in this. She was in The Help. She was in, what else was she in? Every movie she was in the last 5 years getting nominated for shit. Octavia Spencer, people, put her in your movies. Just be like, do your Octavia Spencer thing, whatever that is. Just do it.
It guaranteed to uplift my movie into stardom.
Uplift my movie, yes, into the heavens. That was very Lady Raptastic of you. She's all about uplifting women. Yes. Octavia Spencer's in it. She's great. Sally Hawkins, nominated for Best Actress. She's great.
Yeah.
Does the whole movie, obviously, without speaking, just a little with some of these hand sign things. Yep. Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon's fucking killing it these days.
God, Michael Shannon, you're so good.
That motherfucker must have bills to pay. He has been doing a lot of work.
He just likes to work, man. He just likes to work. God bless him. He just likes to work. And I like it when he works. That Blade Runner, man.
What's Bill's number one?
Get Out. I threw it out there real quick. I said it super fast. Okay. Yeah, his number one's Get Out.
Of course.
I said it was Get Out. Which we talk about how amazing it is. God bless Jordan Peele. I can't wait to see what he does next.
So,
he's probably done as an actor.
I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, an actor and a comedian. He's just gonna, which is,
I'm fine with that.
Full time filmmaker.
Do it.
Producing the Twilight Zone show.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
Kill it.
Yes. Please give the man money. And then yeah, Chelsea Pretty, they're got a baby. I think they're did she have that kid yet?
Anyway, I don't know.
Good for him. Good for him. He's got a family. Doing good.
Making movies.
Making movies. I'm totally envious. Good for him. Blade Runner 2049, man.
Yeah, I mean,
I went out and bought a Blu-ray player for that goddamn thing, man.
Yeah, I'm very much.
Then my dad was like, "Yeah, Blu-ray players in the closet." I was like, too late.
I'm gonna go buy Blade Runner. I was gonna buy it on Monday when my entertainment center came in, but my entertainment center came today, so I have to buy it tomorrow. Now
there you go.
I'm gonna watch it on my brand new giant 65-inch 4K TV.
Yes,
you want to come over and watch Blade Runner?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, whenever you get it going, I'll come over and watch it. It's so good. It's so 2 hours and 40 minutes.
40 minutes
of
fucking
amazingness.
Eyeball bliss.
Split right down the middle. You got it. Goes all the way up to the. He finds the orphanage in the book. Pages ripped out. Finds a horse, goes home, sex scene, goes to bed, wakes up, he goes to Vegas, right? It's like a perfect split right down the middle of that, which is amazing. And I mean, like I said, I went and got a Blu-ray player, and I bought Ivan freaking. I watched it over here, like in installments, because it's so long, man.
You got shit going on.
I got shit going on. I'm waking up at 7:30 in the morning and I'm getting home at like 9:30 at night. Come on, guys, a long, long ass day. I'm like, I gotta watch some of this. I gotta watch this Blade Runner.
It's a Blade Runner.
And it's so, oh man, I want to live inside it. Bautista.
Yeah. Dude, Bautista. I wish there was more of him.
I know. It's a. Leave him wanting more, no. Man. Sapper Morton, great character.
No.
I want to get all the stupid Funko Pops.
You want them all?
I want them all now.
Oh man.
That's how much I like it. I want them all now. I almost
want
to get them all.
I want the jacket.
And then throw away the other ones. That coat.
I want the coat. Go figure. Another awesome Ryan Gosling coat.
Another awesome Gosling coat.
He really has cornered the market on awesome jackets.
He must. Does he have his own coat, man?
He must.
Now you can ask Daniel Day-Lewis, hey, can you make me a coat? Day-Lewis doesn't get into fashion, apparently. He did, like, really.
That's what you said.
He made a dress that his wife wears. His wife wears it. They go out and she wears it.
She, I mean, maybe it's a decent dress. I doubt it, though.
No, it's supposed to be quite good.
If you say so.
I mean, I didn't see a picture. What do I know about fashion? Look what I'm wearing. Look at this shirt. It's got
about to say Tom and Dan.
This is old stained Tom and Dan shirt. This pants dirty as fuck.
Socks.
Airwalks.
You even wearing socks?
Yeah, I'm wearing socks. See, got them low cuts, yo. So I can show off my ankles. Got them sexy ankles.
Yeah, some sexy calves.
Look at them sexy ankles, them sexy calves. I gotta show off what I got. That Blade Runner is so good, man. So good.
All of it. I mean,
the crazy soundtrack, the crazy sounds, the sound editing,
the crazy sounds, the sound editing.
Only nominated for the technical stuff
the
too.
The neon colors. I mean, Gosling knocked it out of the park. Harrison Ford was great. That fucking chick was awesome.
Sylvia Hooks. Hooks.
I'm really enjoying Jared Leto as a bad guy.
He's a good bad guy. He's creepy. He's a creepy, gross weirdo. So he's perfect for a bad guy. Yeah. And then it's also very, like, in terms of what he wants, it's a very easy setup. He's like, look, we're making these replicants, but we don't have enough, and we can't make enough. No matter what we can do, we can't make enough. So Tyrell engineered these replicants to have a baby. That baby's out there. We got to find that baby so we can probably vivisect it, figure out what we can do to get more Prego replicants, so they can do the work for us, right?
Yeah.
Just to build slave labor, so they can keep going out throughout the cosmos. It's a very, when you break it down, even on those thematic terms, there's a lot going on in terms of like capitalism and industrialist, and like the way the like he even says straight up, you know, the civilizations are being built on the
backs
of
slaves.
Slaves, and then
always have been,
and there's a lot going on there, even in just those terms. And then you got the much more personal,
shit,
much more personal. The essence of Blade Runner,
the am I, am I not? Who am I? What am I?
What is a soul? Etc. Etc. You know, you've got a long fine without one. Like, what's that? A soul. And then the way he just looks at her, he's like, thanks.
Nope.
That's not what I wanted to hear.
Nope. You're an evil cunt.
No, she's not evil. She's relatable. She's just trying to do her job. Everyone's just trying to do their job in that movie. Well, except for Love towards the end. Her ego gets in the way.
Yeah.
She's the only one whose ego, I think, gets in the way, which is why she ends up losing. because she's like, I'm the best. She could have finished off Kate right there.
Right then and there.
Right there on the ocean.
But she couldn't.
But she left him to die, and then he killed her.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. And then he goes, takes him to the daughter. Oh, man. So we're going to stop recording, so I'm going to go watch the movie right now. I got the movie right now. I got it right there. I got it right now. When you're ready to watch, I'll watch it too. I'll watch it now, too. I'll watch now, and then I'll watch it later. I'll just keep watching.
Lots of watching.
It's so good.
It is. It really is like the pinnacle crowning achievement of
I can't believe they made it.
It is the crown jewel of 2017.
It's almost 3 hour long, slow paced science fiction movie that cost like $155 million to make.
So fucking beautiful.
Like they shouldn't have made it, but they did, and it's amazing.
I'm so glad they did.
It's amazing, and it's so singular too. It's like Ridley Scott's song about how, because he's always wanted to make a whole bunch of Blade Runner type stories. For years he's wanted to. And he's like, I have other sequel ideas. I want to keep making more. And I'm like, I'm not interested in more. Like, is Denis Villeneuve involved? No, I
don't care.
I want more movies from that dude. Yeah. And if he'll make a Blade Runner, then maybe. But even then, no.
Well, no.
Technically, lightning does strike in the same
place. Well, no, exactly. Yeah.
It's a very stupid scene.
but still, it takes a very smart and competent filmmaker to make a proper Blade Runner movie.
Apparently.
And unless it's being done by a smart and competent filmmaker, I'm not interested.
Unless Christopher Nolan wants to make a Blade Runner.
Well, no, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be something ridiculous that.
Oh, Chris, now you had to say that. Now.
It's got
to
be something like that. This is the
now
only way.
Now I have a wanting, and I'll never get it.
And will he ever? I was shocked that he made it. Well, it makes sense he would make a Batman movie when he did, because he was still trying to break into the big blockbuster, mega-budget game. Because he always wanted to make big-budget movies.
And that's what did it.
Batman got him in. But since then, he doesn't need that now. Now he can make his Inceptions and Interstellars and Dunkirks.
Because he's Christopher Nolan.
Because he's Christopher Nolan. He's the brand. That's so rare. Really, it's him and Spielberg. Anyone else? Tarantino are like the only handful of directors that he can sell a movie on just by the director, by the person who's
James Cameron.
It. Yes. That's four. We're still on one hand.
Yeah,
we're still on one hand. The amount of filmmakers, so you could sell a movie based on them. Uh-huh. They were positioning Shyamalan for that for a while.
Yeah,
it backfired on them. Well. Now they have to hide his name when they release movies. Yeah, now you find out at the end of the movie, like After Earth, at the very end, it cuts to black.
And then Shyamalan.
Here comes your twist.
It's like, oh shit!
This M. Night Shyamalan movie the whole time.
Yeah,
I did not see that coming.
Nope.
That was wild, man.
I thought he was done working.
He's back though, man. Split's fantastic. Yeah,
Split was good. They're building that whole universe.
Yeah, that's coming out maybe next year, I think. Because it's filming now.
Yeah,
I'm thinking it right now. I'm friends with someone on Facebook. I got thousands of people now on Facebook. So stupid. My Facebook feed is such a goddamn wasteland of bullshit and cisgendered, heteronormative, male angst and anxiety at the changing world around them. Oh, God, it's so depressing. But there's this one dude, this like older black guy. I don't even know his name. This old skinny black guy looks like two-set Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
He does these hilarious posts every time he gets a job. He's based in the in Philadelphia, so one of his posts is like, on set today for a new film by a director called M. Night Shyamalan. Like, he writes like no one knows nothing. He's like, I'm on this, blah, 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 and it's this whole thing. I'm like, hey, good for this guy.
Hey, he's getting to work.
I'm Facebook friends with a dude in a Shyamalan movie. That's that does mean nothing. Nope. That's no help whatsoever. Anyway, and get out all these movies. I mean, like,
they were all,
so for me, Blade Runner 2049 was the definitive, like, number one.
Yeah.
For me, for you, was that Shape of Water?
I was juggling with Shape of Water. I really enjoy Shape of Water.
It's very good, man. It's a fun one. But, like, some of my other lists I had over here, like, Get Out was number two for a while. Good Time was, like, maybe Good Time's my number two. I don't know. Like, Mother's so good. Other times, like, Mother was really low. Atomic Blonde and John Wick kept flipping. I was like, can I take me like Atomic Blonde more than John Wick?
Yes, I did. That's right, you did. I did.
It's so good.
It is.
I want to rewatch it. I want to rewatch all of these movies. I don't got time to Crespo Hundo's all about new movies. But I want to rewatch. I want to just watch Blade Runner 20. If you watch Blade Runner 2049 100 times and document that in 2018, then that'll count for
the ultimate Crespo Hundo.
Yeah, and then you'll get a specially designed Crespo Hundo shirt.
you'll be the only one that have like, shit, now we gotta design this guy's shirt. Because surely it's gonna be a guy. Goddamn
yeah.
dudes.
Yeah.
Stupid dudes. Hey, we're dudes.
Hey, we are.
We're
stupid dudes, too.
We're stupid. All right, well, that was some good stuff. That was a fun best of worst of episode. So anything we missed? Anything? Any movies you have written down? I think we got them all.
Goddamn top fives are the same, Chris.
That's so funny.
Worked on these completely independently, too.
In different spaces.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you're one and two. It's like, oh, wow, flip them. And then you made them exactly like mine.
Yeah.
Which is, like I said, my one and 15 was like, Blade Runner and Thor are my bookends. I just have to fill up that middle.
Everything in the middle.
That was an interesting list. All right. Well, guys, what are your... Give us your top fives. Give us your top fives. CinemaCrespedisa@gmail.com. Or you can just tweet us at Crespedisa, and we'll read them in the next episode or two. Top fives and your one worst movie. We don't, cause this will take forever. If just a handful of you respond, this will take forever. And also keep them short. Scott, keep them short, very short. But yeah, top five, bottom one, and then we'll read them. That'll be interesting too. I would really like to hear that. So, Jert, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 at some places on the internet.
On some of those places, yeah. Yes. And also...
The internet's getting so large, I can't be everywhere.
It keeps expanding. It's like some sort of universe. I wonder if people live in it?
Probably.
Some sort of simulation?
Some sort of...
Are we just someone's hard drive in a college dorm on a planet... Zoatu 12?
Oh no, we are definitely a science experiment on some like third grader's shelf that says C+.
I buy that. That makes sense. Like, oh, this was barely passable, son.
Uh-huh. But hey, congratulations.
We decided not to murder you this year. That's in their society. That's how they do things. So the kids failed, they murder them. Hashtag CrespoHundo. Join us for that at CrespoDiso on Twitter. And there was something else. Oh, Apple Podcast, rate and review the show, please. We're sitting at 58 reviews still. We're trying to get to 69.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll get to 69. And then when we do, Drew and I will high five. It's going to be awesome. So,
it's going to be the loudest high five ever.
It'll be our last high five ever.
I said loudest.
Oh, it'll be the loudest. I thought it was going
to
be the last.
We're going to have to do the elbow stare. I don't really get a good one in.
Really get break my
hand.
It's
going to hurt.
I thought it was going to be like Amazing Spider-Man number 350, the final confrontation between Venom and Spider-Man. That's going to be the last high five ever. No. It's gonna be the loudest one instead.
That's gonna hurt.
Yep. Alright, that's it. We have episode 264. Yeah, because I'm gonna put this out. I'll put this out tonight probably. So 264 is this weekend with Ryan Holmes, and then the following weekend is Super Bowl weekend. Does anyone care?
Nope.
Alright, guys. We appreciate it. Be easy.
A PFT Media production.